My scripture reading today is in Titus 3, starting at verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed Sabbath. We thank You, Lord, for each one that You brought here. And Heavenly Father, we ask that You send Your Holy Spirit to anoint the ears to hear that which You would have them to receive, and let it bless them as You would. And in all these things, we give You praise and honor and glory. In Yeshua's name, we ask, and amen. My text is in verse 8 of my scripture reading, so let's look at that together. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. My message to you today, I entitled, Good Deeds Are Required. Have you ever given consideration to that? There's many in our modern mainstream Christianity that might take a little exception to the thought that good deeds are necessary. But I want you to know that your Bible says that good deeds are required. The writer of these words is the Apostle Paul, and he is identified in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Titus. And these words, this letter from and by Paul, is written to Titus. And who is Titus identified as? Well, let's see what the following verses say in verse 1 through 4 of chapter 1. Paul says, to Titus, Paul's child, in the common faith, the faith of the chosen of God. This is the faith that we're speaking of. This is the word that is given to us as a guide for our lives, given to us for us to obey its commands. The faith of the chosen of God. Are you one of the chosen? Do you feel blessed by God that He chose you out of all of the people of the world that could be chosen? He chose you. Two, having the knowledge of truth. You hold the truth in your hand when you hold the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. You hold the truth in your hand when you have that Bible. Rooted in godliness. This is what God wants our lives to be. Rooted in His Word. Rooted in the Word. Rooted in godly living. Righteous living. And lastly, with promise of eternal life. And who is giving us all of this? Paul identifies by God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Let's see what Paul also writes. And I want your thoughts and your focus to be on the fact that the Word of God lets us know clearly that good deeds are required. Let's go to Galatians 2 and 15 and see what the Apostle Paul writes there to the Galatians. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Can you say amen to that? Paul writes it. I think we can believe it and count on it. Okay, let's look at chapter 3 and start at verse 21 and see what Paul says. 3:21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Remember now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking this. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? And Paul replies, may it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that by the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Aren't those wonderful words? And we've heard those words and read those words many times in the last 6 months. And we can never read those particular words too often or too many times. It's clear from this, these words that I've read you, that, and remember my title to my message to you, it's clear from the words and writings of Paul, what we've discussed so far, that by good deeds and good works, We are not ultimately by those justified. By our good deeds, by our good works, and speaking of those exclusively and particularly, we are not by those justified or made right with God. Nor are we by those good deeds and good works, are we saved. Nor are we deemed by God as righteous, only considering our good deeds and good works. We know and we believe that by God's grace, His love for us, His mercy and compassion for us as His children, we know and believe that we are saved by God's grace through faith. Do you believe that? You believe that's true and accurate? Believe that's the way we ought to believe and ought to look at things, even considering how good people can be? I know some real good people. They don't go to church. They don't believe in God. Do you know some like that? Real good people, but they're not church people. They don't believe, they don't have a Bible. They don't study it and go to it like you or I would. They're good people. They do some good deeds. They have some good works. They're very agreeable. Good to get along with. They keep the laws of the land. They don't go out and steal from other people, take what doesn't belong to them. They don't take other people's lives. Is that enough? But we know people like that. We wonder about people like that. Why they come to be as they are. You know, if we know people like that, we need to try to help those people. We need to try to bring some word of God to them. We need to share our experiences if we can with them. But you know, some of those kind of people don't want to hear what we've got to say. They shut out God purposely. And it's their intent to live like they live without God, without knowledge of His Word, without knowledge of His love and concern for them and of His wanting to grant them to be heir of all of His promises, to be saved, to be a part of His kingdom, to have eternal life. But yet, they don't want it. They shut it out. We can't understand it. But Jesus Christ gave us the command to live our lives for God. And as we have opportunity to be a witness for Him, to go out into all the world and spread the good news of the gospel, the good news of God, the good news that we have a loving Creator, God in heaven, that has a kingdom that is coming, and He wants us to be part of it. We need to let the ones that He brings us in contact with, as we have opportunity and ability, we need to let them know of that better way to live their life, of that Creator who loves them and brought them into this world for a purpose. But by good deeds and good works, we are not ultimately justified by those. Nor are we saved, nor are we deemed by God as righteous. We know and believe that by God's grace that we are saved through faith. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 8. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is a gift of God. It's because of His love for us. It's because He wants us to realize that He is our loving Father, and He wants us to want to be a part of what He brings to mankind. He wants us to realize that we are His sons and daughters. He claims us. We need to claim Him. And not by our own efforts, not by our good works, not by our good deeds, but by His loving mercy and concern for us. However, my message to you today is good works, good deeds are required. Let's look further. It's very clear when we read God's Word that faith without works. Now listen to that. We're talking about good works, good deeds are required. And James says that faith without works, we're saved by faith, right? But James says that faith without works, let's go to James 2 and 20. See what James says about faith. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless, serves no purpose, will avail to nothing? Faith without works is useless. Let's go to James 2 and 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. What can dead do? Nothing. Whatever's been done is done before that. The dead do nothing. So faith without works is dead, useless. Let's see also what Paul says in this regard and how Paul clarifies part of this. Let's go to Titus 1 and 16 and see further what Paul says. Titus 1 and 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless, for any good deed. Is good deeds important? Is good works required? Does the Word of God says that you will be judged according to your works? We all know we're going to be judged. We're going to stand before the judge. Those are pretty strong words by Paul. They profess to know God. There's a lot of people that profess to know God. But by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable. This is how he's describing those people that say they know God. Detestable, disobedient, worthless for any good deed. Let's go to Titus 2 and 7. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Is good deeds important? Is good works important? Paul says, Titus 2, 7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Isn't that clear how good deeds and good works is looked upon by God? Let's go to Titus 2 and 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Zealous. Oh, we've heard that word before this morning. Zealous. Is it deplorable to you that people in church don't do the things that the Word of God says that they ought to do? Do what? Reread that? Okay. 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify, that is to make right, for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. You're wanting good deeds. You look for good deeds. You are going to do good deeds because you are the kind of righteous person that God wants you to be. And if you are that person that God wants you to be, you're going to have good deeds and good works. Let's look at Titus 3 and 8. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. I think it's important. Paul does too. These things are good and profitable for men. Let's go to Titus 3 and 14. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. Do you see the connection between being fruitful for God and doing good deeds and having good works? By your works, you're going to be known. by your works, you're going to be judged. But we are not saying, and we've already made perfectly clear, you're not justified by those. You're not saved by those. You're not deemed righteous by God by those. For the word is clear, by God's grace we are saved through faith. Our own efforts don't get those things. Our good deeds, our good works don't get those assurances. But God's gift, His love for us, His mercy for us, His compassion for us is what justifies us. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, it took a sacrifice. We could not be made right by our own efforts or deeds. We could not be saved by ourselves. We are saved only through God's grace and through His plan of His only begotten Son, shedding His blood as that sacrifice. The shed blood is required. It was required 2,000 years ago. It's going to be required 2,000 in the future. It isn't done away with. A sacrifice has always got to be in effect. And Jesus paid that once and for all. Sacrifice forever. But that doesn't mean that it's over. That we shouldn't look upon it with the importance that we do. That blood had to be shed. And it's going to be for those that live 1,000 years, if the time goes on that long, after us, it'll still be just as important, just as pertinent, just as necessary. If the blood had not been shed, the once and for all time of Jesus Christ on the cross, we wouldn't be saved now. By His blood, by the sacrifice. Let's look at Jesus' words in John 5 and 28. John 5 and 28. Do not marvel at this. Now remember, this is Jesus' words. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Do you understand? Are good deeds important? Are good works important? Good works and good deeds are required. You should understand that. You should get that by now. That was Jesus. Let's look at Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 12. 'Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter thought it was important to have good deeds. Peter knew that the righteous ones, the ones that was serving God, doing His commands, it would necessarily follow that they do good deeds, that they have good works. Now let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and 16, and I'm coming to a close very quickly. Matthew 5:16. Jesus' words, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Seems clear to me. Ephesians 2:10. Let's see what it says. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Is it important to obey the commands of God? Is it important to follow what He tells us, to have good works and good deeds? And lastly, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:18. "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." Righteous living, or right living, is important. Good deeds are required. Good works are required. But we are saved through God's grace and through His mercy for us. And that blood that was shed by His only begotten Son, Yeshua. Let's always keep God first in our hearts and in our lives. If you would, I'd like to ask that you will stand with me. And let's read God's blessing to us and our blessing to each other. Let's all read together. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace." Amen and amen.